Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
The left is saying stare decisis, stare decisis, stare decisis when it comes to abortion. And that reason is that the language of Roe cannot be sustained by the Constitution of the United States.
If we would just take a pen and underline every time he mentions the Father, Jesus makes it crystal clear that we don't have a vote in this matter.
The reason to be a Lutheran, marry a Lutheran, stay a Lutheran, is so that I am always receiving this grace in a church that's preaching it in Christ crucified for me.
Pastors, thankful for the last 10 years of Issues Etc., give thanks to God. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Well, if there was a religion story, this is it. This is perhaps the religion story of religion stories. You don't get much higher than cardinal in the Roman Catholic Church. You don't get much more influential than being a cardinal in the nation's capital. You have a very popular cardinal who's popular not only kind of broadly in his own church, in the American Roman Catholic Church, you also have one that is popular with the U.S. press, very popular with the U.S. press. And then the story breaks, a story that is not new, but really very old, we are being told. A story breaks about this cardinal in his earlier days, and who knows how long this continued to last, had a predilection for boys, young men, and who knows what else. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about media coverage of the Cardinal Theodore McCarrick sex scandal. Terry Mattingly will be our guest for the first part of this hour of Issues Etc. A little bit later, we will take up the 50th anniversary of the papal encyclical Humana Vitae. As often as I have talked with serious pro-life guests, they mention this document over and over again. They mention that it is practically prophetic in some of the things that Pope Paul VI in 1968 nonetheless was predicting for the future after widely accepted contraception. Pastor Jonathan Lang will be our guest. Then Dr. Alfonso Espinosa joins us for our continuing series on dualities in Scripture. We'll talk about simultaneously saint and sinner. Feel free to join us over the next 2 hours. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us to discuss media coverage of the Cardinal Theodore McCarrick sex scandal, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So explain to me and to our listeners, from a journalist's perspective, why so many in the media say now that they knew either part of the story or some of the story or maybe even most of this story years ago, and yet no story was written until recently about Theodore McCarrick and his dalliances.
Well, the simplest way to state it is that all kinds of people were saying all kinds of things, and in each case, they did all of this off the record. They even paid visits to major church leaders, but then they refused to talk about those visits on the record. In some cases, they even appear to have given people copies of documents and letters. But when you don't have anyone who's willing to speak on the record about the situation, you don't run the story. Although I could draw a parenthesis here and note that obviously the rules for covering an extremely popular and powerful progressive cardinal are the journalism rules are very different from what's being used to cover an extremely unpopular American president in terms of the media, Donald Trump. Nobody wants to write a story based completely on anonymous sourcing. And in this case, you were dealing with someone. And what's really amazing about it is the degree to which the timeline of this man's power coincides with what we now know to be what was happening behind the scenes in terms of this other life or this relationship with a host of different people. There's two ways to look at the McCarrick story. I wrote about this a couple of days ago in a piece called The Fire Keeps Falling. This scandal really has three levels. Number one, you have the level that everyone immediately thinks about, which is pedophilia. However, if you've been covering the story as long as I have, and this scandal has been going since the mid-1980s, it just took a while for this thing to break out into the open. Everyone immediately thinks of pedophilia, but I've seen reports in which people went after cases of pedophilia, even in huge American Catholic archdioceses, and they didn't find any or many cases that fit the clinical definition of pedophilia, which is sex with children. What they found instead, and a liberal Catholic priest named Donald Cousins and I did a couple of interviews with him about this. He wrote a very famous book called The Changing Face of the American Priesthood. And he was one of the first people to come out and say that, in his opinion, 50 to 60% of Catholic priests in America were gay. And as you would imagine, that would create a pretty big storm when a well-known liberal priest writes that. But what Cousins emphasized more than anything else is that what people were seeing was not pedophilia, but a medical condition called ephebophilia. And ephebophilia, the quickest way to think of it is that that is sexual activity with teenagers. Now, the minute you say that the overwhelming majority of these cases involve men having sex with teenaged boys, the entire profile of the scandal changes. A priest told me long ago in a column I wrote that if you take the male-on-male angle out of it and think of it this way, a lot of people say, well, what's the difference? Why does it matter that no one talks about ephebophilia instead of pedophilia? And this priest said, well, stop and think about it this way. Let's make this sex crimes of a different nature. He said a 25-year-old man who wants to have sex with a 17-year-old Hollywood starlet is guilty of crime, sin, and everything else if they carries that out. But it's not the same medical condition as a 25-year-old man who wants to have sex with a 7-year-old girl. You get the distinction? And these are actually two different medical conditions. And if you back way up in the history of this, it appears that the bishops thought that there was medical reasons to believe that pedophilia could not be treated and people should be just immediately kind of locked up or sent away or defrocked, but that they were not sure that ephebophilia couldn't be treated. Now, what we're finding out is that a lot of these cases are really borderline. I mean, you know, you're dealing with boys who are 10, 11, 12, 13 years of age, and their exact level of physical development, it's almost impossible to know at that stage. So stage one of all this, pedophilia is what made all the headlines. Ephebophilia was the condition that best described the vast majority of the cases. Now, what makes the McCarrick case different is you have now accusations that border on pedophilia. You have clear accusations on the record now of ephebophilia. And then the third category, which is the sexual harassment of seminarians, young priests, and other people whose careers are under your control as a bishop. And that gets you into a completely different territory with the blurring of the lines between consensual sex and sexual harassment. And of course, under Catholic doctrine, consensual sex between a bishop and his priest is not exactly wonderful. But in terms of legalities, under secular law, whether such a person should be turned in to the police, you can see that that's a different category. McCarrick was, simply stated, one of the most powerful Catholic leaders in America. He was the Archbishop and then Cardinal of Washington, D.C. It would be hard for me to name a bishop who had more power with the American media, in part because the obvious people who would compete for him for media power were in New York, and for a large period of time during his career, those two bishops were very articulate, very outspoken, but conservative. Whereas McCarrick was in Newark, right outside of New York, and then he was in Washington, D.C. This is all about the timeline. And the best short description of what happened that I've seen is in the editorial page piece by Ross Douthat of the New York Times, which ran today, The Truth About Cardinal McCarrick, in which he basically says what we need is the ecclesiastical equivalent of a special prosecutor. Before we even try to describe what the problem is, we need to know what happened in this one case, in large part because McCarrick is seen as the kind of godfather figure in terms of who aided, helped, and shaped the careers of three cardinals now in the U.S., three of the most influential people in the American church scene. And then also, he claimed a powerful role, at least in a public speech in 2013, saying that he was part of a key behind-the-scenes effort to elect Pope Francis. And he boasts constantly about his insider status with Pope Francis and his ability to maneuver the church according to his desires. It would be hard to name a bigger potential scandal. And what Douthat is saying is before we even decide, I mean, we had years of discussion and debate, and everyone thinks there is a plan in place, a very clear plan, and I think a quite admirable plan, to handle accusations of sexual abuse of young people. We have that now in the church. Some people have said, well, do we now need an entirely different system to handle accusations of sexual harassment of seminarians, priests, and other adults? At which point, several people have said, wait a minute, the Catholic Church needs a special effort to decide that it's wrong for a bishop to sexually harass his priests? We're not clear on that? Well, the issue clearly is, okay, well, then how do you do something about it? And what do you do about it? That was long, that was rambling, but the key is the timeline of this man's career and how much we now are learning. The accusations that we know of begin in like 1994. We know of people going to Rome in the late 1990s, pleading with the church not to make him Archbishop of Washington. And then we have numerous other cases of people claiming that they cried out in protest that this man's career was continuing.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the Cardinal Theodore McCarrick sex scandal on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 25th. When we come back, we will talk about a New York Times Sunday Magazine story that almost got printed. We'll find out what it was after this. You can meet and hear Anthony Esselin, John Warwick Montgomery, Ryan Anderson, Bev Yonke, Mark Kaltoff, and Chris Roseborough at the 2018 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Early bird registration is $110. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of the Cardinal Theodore McCarrick sex scandal. Terry Mattingly is our guest. Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is also founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, you mentioned in your latest piece a 2012 New York Times Sunday Magazine story that almost was printed. What was it?
Well, we don't know. We don't know exactly what they had. We don't know why the freelancer who was producing this for the New York Times Sunday Magazine, we don't know whether he had material on the record, but the word among a lot of religion reporters who were working on the same story, including my Get Religion colleague Julia Dean, who, because she was at the Washington Times, was covering him for numerous years as the local archbishop and local cardinal. She had tons of documents. She had tons of sources. Now that she is no longer in full-time religion writing, she has shared a lot of those with other reporters, some of whom are breaking stories as it goes on. Rod Dreher goes all the way back into that era in terms of his active reporting, and he had tons of sources. And he assumed, what everyone assumes is that this person who, I don't know the name, the person who was working for the story for the New York Times didn't get close enough to please the editors and the lawyers who would have been responsible for the legal status of such an article if it was published. Someone got cold feet. Now, whether or not he had enough information for a quality story, we have no way of knowing. It's just one of the interesting kind of missed opportunities in this whole story.
Talk about McCarrick. I think we can say he had a unique position with the media, especially the DC yes. media. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at my computer screen, and what I have called up is the press contact card for Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. And this is the official contact card biography at the Vatican, at the actual press office of the Vatican. I went in a piece that I published just the other day, which opens with a Doctor Who reference, using a journalism TARDIS. Why was Cardinal McCarrick such a crucial news source? The TARDIS, for non-Whovians, is, of course, the blue police box time machine at the heart of the Doctor Who concept. Now, the reason I brought that up was normally at Get Religion, we don't critique old articles. I mean, what's the point? But the other day, I saw one or two references to a 2004 profile of McCarrick that ran in a magazine called The Washingtonian. This story is absolutely remarkable, especially when read in hindsight, something that it's really never fair to do that to a journalist. But at the same time, this is such a glowing, almost to the point of public relations material, profile of McCarrick, the man in the red hat. But there's pieces of this that refer to multiple angles of what we now think of as the scandal. I'll just read a little bit of that Washingtonian piece. David Gibson, author of The Coming Catholic Church and a religion reporter who's covered the Vatican and knew McCarrick for the 18 years he was in Newark, describes him as a pope maker, quote unquote. Much of McCarrick's work for the Vatican has taken place behind the scenes, but not all of it. Shortly after being elevated to cardinal, he was in Rome with other American cardinals discussing the sex abuse crisis that was roiling the church. It was McCarrick who emerged from the meetings to face the media in St. Peter's Square. McCarrick said he got the job because the other cardinals, quote, can run faster than I do. Then the key quote, actually, he was asked to talk because of experience, ease, and rapport with the media. Some reporters who covered him in Rome became such fans that they were commonly known as Team Ted. In other words, the reporters who, in their reporting, seemed to answer almost directly to McCarrick. It's also interesting that this piece about him has quite a bit of information about McCarrick's living style, his lifestyle in Washington, and it mentions that he didn't live in the pastoral center of the archdiocese, that he lived in what had been some abandoned property in urban Washington, in a high school, an orphanage, where they cleared out a floor that had just been used for storage and turned it into a large apartment for McCarrick, for his auxiliary bishop, Kevin Farrell, and their two priest secretaries. Now, Kevin Farrell is now a cardinal and happens to be the head of the Vatican Office on Family Life and Marriage. Now, this apartment is right on the edge of the DuPont Circle, Adams Morgan area of Washington, which it's hard not to observe is the center of gay life in Washington, D.C. Does that mean anything concrete? No. Is it something interesting? Well, yes. And in the midst of all that, it says that he didn't like to go to the Kennedy Center. He did not have a high profile. He didn't go out to big restaurants. What he preferred to do was go out on a 20-foot fishing boat that had been given to him. And then, for the past 20 years, he has vacationed for a week every year on the New Jersey shore where a friend loans him a house. He usually takes along a group of priests and seminarians. The only requirement for guests is that someone has to be able to cook. That's the beach house that emerges in the abuse cases involving his relationship with priests and seminarians. That's the infamous beach house. It's in the profile back in 2004. Interesting. Does it prove anything? No, but the accusations need to be run down. And to some degree, people need to be testifying under oath. Thus, Ross Douthat said, the church needs something resembling a special prosecutor to nail down the difference between rumors and facts in the career of this exceedingly powerful and influential U.S. cardinal.
We should also mention, and you mentioned it in passing there, that he appeared before the press at the Vatican in order to deal with what was then the budding kind of priestly sexual abuse scandal. But he was the front man on a lot of, in the media on a lot of this. He was kind of the guy who would go to the press and say, don't worry, you don't have to worry about your young boys, your altar boys around your parish priest. He was kind of the consoler in chief in that sense.
What he actually said was, we've done the hard work. We've looked at the hard issues, and we now have a system in place to handle that. Things are now trustworthy. And like I said earlier, there are many people who think that that machinery, that legal system for handling these accusations is actually working pretty well in the present tense, in the current age. In other words, not everyone looks at that process to create the anti-pedophilia, anti-ephebophilia structure. Not everybody thinks that charter is a joke. A lot of people think that some people did a pretty good job. The issue is, okay, but what do you do to the bishops who covered up the previous decades? Where's the machinery, where's the system that allows people to actually accuse the bishops of covering things up? And then what do you do with the bishops who are now being accused of being abusers themselves? It's like we know how to handle the sex abuse minor leagues of the junior clergy. How do we create a system that handles the major leagues, the big leagues, the bishops, the archbishops, and the cardinals, some of whom, it's pretty clear, have people watching their back?
If we learned anything from the now infamous Harvey Weinstein case, it's that once people start talking, everybody starts talking. And this kind of serial abuse, this kind of serial harassment in the case of Harvey Weinstein, is once he's no longer a kingmaker in Hollywood, people feel free to come forward. Well, what's Theodore McCarrick's status at this point with the Roman Catholic Church, and should we expect the floodgates to open?
Well, a lot of people would say no, for the simple reason that how do you dig into the history of this one man without removing the lid on other cases related to him and to the people close to him? This, what Rod Dreher wrote in a column, is the network surrounding this man. Now, the cynics and conspiracy theory people talk about the Lavender Mafia and a kind of a vast conspiracy of gay priests and bishops and archbishops and cardinals who protect each other. There are other people who don't think that such a formal structure exists other than perhaps at the seminary level. And everybody keeps coming back to the problem of what happens in the first years of preparation for a young man as he's becoming a priest. And obviously, there are a lot of people here that if one-tenth of what we're hearing is true, there are a lot of people who are in a position to blackmail and to be blackmailed. And that's why a lot of people think you won't hear the lid come off and everything else surface. Too many people have too much to lose. I would also stress at this point that I have met people in the decades I have covered this story. I have had I've heard liberals who want to say this is all a conservative problem. All of this is caused by conservatives who hate gays, and they're forcing people into the closet, and that isn't healthy. And we could solve this problem if everybody would just be open and honest about their sexuality. There was a big piece along that line in the Washington Post just a few days ago. At the same time, I've heard conservative Catholics say, this is all about liberalism. This is all about the 60s and the sexual revolution getting into our seminaries, and all of a sudden people began doing unthinkable things, and it's all the fault of the left. If I've learned anything from the materials I've read and the people I've interviewed through the years, in this story, there is enough sin to go around for everybody. This isn't a left thing. This is not a right thing. There's all kinds of people who have a lot to lose if this is cleaned up. Now, at the same time, we would have to say that there are people on the theological left who are extremely anxious to make sure that they continue to make progress in the Francis era on changing the shape of discourse in the Catholic Church about sexuality, all the way from issues related to divorce, all the way to, frankly, how do priests handle sexual sins outside of marriage, including homosexual activity. There are very real debates going on, and we have a huge event coming up soon where you have the Vatican's global conference on young people, children, and spiritual life. The head of that conference is Cardinal Farrell, the former auxiliary bishop to McCarrick in Washington, D.C., a man who based his own coat of arms as a bishop on the coat of arms of McCarrick, with several salutes to McCarrick in his own episcopal seal. You have that coming up, and one of the keynote speakers at that conference, saluted by the Vatican to do so, is the Jesuit priest, Father James Martin, who is probably the most outspoken progressive in the American church on issues of changing how the church deals with homosexuality. So, yeah, there's a big news event coming up. To what degree will the McCarrick scandal now get involved? Will that become enmeshed in coverage of this other huge story? We'll have to see.
Our conversation with Terry Mattingly continues on the other side of the break. We are talking about media coverage of the Cardinal Theodore McCarrick sex scandal. He's author of a weekly column on religion for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. We'll be right back.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Lutherans for Life is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During July, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Lutherans for Life. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of the Cardinal Theodore McCarrick sex scandal. In a few minutes, we'll turn to the subject of the 50th anniversary of the papal encyclical Humana Vitae, a hugely influential and prophetic document, if we may use the term rather loosely. And then Dr. Alfonso Espinosa will join us for part four of our series on dualities in Scripture. We'll talk about simultaneously saint and sinner. Terry, I would like your thoughts on how one would go about covering Ross Douthat's suggestion. If his suggestion, I read his op-ed piece today, more of indignant demand. In recent conversation with him, he is lit up on this story. This matters to him as a devout Catholic too. But I wonder how one would go about even beginning to cover what someone's going to do about this. You had said, what do you do about this? It's a huge question mark. How do you begin covering that facet of this big religion story?
Well, I think one of the things you have to do right now is try to find out what happens to Cardinal McCarrick. We have a hard news story here. He has been removed from public ministry, but that red hat is still on his head. If there was a serious effort to demand that he be removed from the College of Cardinals. Now, he is retired, but he's still a cardinal. That would certainly say that this scandal has moved up to a completely different level if you have a man have the red hat taken off his head, let alone if you had him defrocked as a priest, if you had him taken all the way back down to civilian status. Another hard news story we're going to have to watch is there any chance, I mean, some of the key accusations concern things that happened a long time ago. The statute of limitations, obviously, is a problem. Will someone attempt to get a civil trial going in an attempt to bring some sort of public justice to this issue? I also think that it's crucial that this story is unfolding in the life of a man who is not only the cardinal of Washington, but someone who spent a tremendous amount of time in his career as a bishop and then as an archbishop in what amounts to greater New York City, right there in New Jersey, in a small diocese that is within, depending on traffic, a quick run over to Staten Island, New York, a borough of New York City, and then he becomes the Archbishop of Newark. And that, of course, might as well be New York City in terms of the working, living population. So the media that's involved in this story are some of the only media that we have left with strong resources for covering religion. You have major, reputable, skilled reporters involved in this story. I also think it will be crucial when television kicks in on this story and begins to make this a public issue. So I would say the next thing we should consider is, will this story get involved in the coverage of the Global Vatican Conference on Young People? I think if that connection is made with that event, we could see an escalation of factual coverage as opposed to just kind of conspiracy theory talk and an endless round of opinion pieces and analysis pieces. At some point, we need more facts that are actually related to the structures of the Roman Catholic Church.
How do you go about doing that? You had mentioned your colleague Dean was in possession of a considerable amount of source,
Julia Dean.
Julia Dean in possession of a considerable amount of source material that she may distribute to other reporters. But short of something like that, a little gold mine landing in your inbox, how does a reporter go about telling this story?
Well, Julia has already put quite a bit of information right on the web at Get Religion. So there's material there, including, in some cases, names and locations of potential other people to testify. Rod Dreher is obviously doing hard work on his own. Today, he has a lengthy piece that's an interview with the man known only as James, who was the person who brought his molestation case this is a guy that McCarrick baptized him as an infant, later married him to his wife, a marriage that this man said was doomed by his years of abuse and alcoholism linked to it. There's no way out of the fact that if this goes back under the rug and we're back to the situation of trying to get people to go on the record, it will take infinitely longer. That's precisely, Todd, why I said it's so important to see whether this public event with all of these major Catholic leaders, including McCarrick's former associate bishop, if this event that pulls everybody out into the open, and there are supposed to be press conferences through this event, and numerous public presentations and speeches, if that event, this conference on Catholic young people, including the speech on the church and homosexual young people by Jesuit James Martin, that's the assumed topic of his speech since it's the topic of the book that he's become so famous for, if that event doesn't lead to new remarks, new pledges for reform, et cetera, et cetera, then this thing could go back under the rug again, and everybody has to wait and see what happens with the press coverage of that event.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, talk with you next week.
I'll be in New York. I'll talk to you then.
When we come back from the break, it's time to talk about the 50th anniversary of the papal encyclical Humana Vitae. It dealt with the issue of marriage, of sex, of procreation, and of contraception. But in many other ways, it also has been a prophetic document for the advance of the sexual revolution. We'll find out how with Pastor Jonathan Lang after this.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. Eighth Century. The Fourth Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.